came to giving him money.
How long had you and the defendant been dating?
2.5 months.
The negatives.
What kind of work do you do?
I get disability.
Outnumbered the positives.
The truck that he had was getting ready to be repossessed.
I never asked her to buy me a truck. She offered.
You obligate yourself for a $6,000 loan when he can't even pay the truck that he's got.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Kimberly Saar is suing her ex-boyfriend, Sean Gigline, for a loan to buy a new truck when his old truck was in danger of being repossessed.
Order. All rise.
That's case number 15 on the calendar, the matter of Saar versus Gigline.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Judge Parr has been sworn in. You may be seated. Ma'am, have a seat.
Ms. Saar, you claim that the defendant owes you money for a truck that you purchased for him, and the money that was paid for the truck was a loan. That was sometime in February 2010. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
The defendant says that you did, in fact, purchase this truck for him that he used for business. You did so because you were dating. He was having some financial difficulty. You were investing in the future with him. And there was never any discussion of repayment of that money until such time as the two of you were no longer dating.
Yes,
is that
ma'am.
Right, sir? Okay. When did you purchase this truck?
I do believe it was February of last year.
And Ms. Saar, at that time, how long had you and the defendant been dating?
2.5 months.
What kind of work do you do?
I get disability.
For what?
I have fibromyalgia, Your Honor.
And how long have you been receiving disability?
Going on 12 years, I believe.
Where did you get the $6,000 to buy the truck?
I had money in savings for medical problems.
What does that mean?
I save money for to go to the doctor to get medication. So I used my savings.
Who do you live with?
I lived with my mother at the time.
How long had you been living with your mother?
About 4 years.
And your only source of income was disability?
Yes, ma'am.
And is what you're telling me that the government gave you a sufficient amount of money for disability for you in addition to take care of your own living expenses as an adult, because you are an adult, but also allowed you to save $6,000?
No, ma'am. The money from savings was from a house that I sold from a divorce. It's money that I've saved up over the years.
When you say it's money that you saved up from a divorce, how long have you been divorced?
Going on 5 years.
And how much did you sell the house for?
I got about $23,000 for it.
Did you have to share that with your husband?
That was my half, the $23,000.
Okay. Can I see, please, the bank statement that you have with regard to this money that was transferred to the car dealership?
Do you want the check as well?
No, first I want to see your bank statement. Who is Rebecca Watson?
My mother.
So she's on this checking account with you, and you sweep money into a savings account. Whose savings account is it?
It's my savings account. Her name is on my account just in case something happens to me.
But it's your savings account?
Yes.
Now, I'd like you to tell me, Ms. Saar, after you knew the defendant a relatively brief period of time, you decided to advance him this money. You want to tell me how that came about?
Yes, Your Honor. He asked if I could help him purchase a truck. The truck that he had was getting ready to be repossessed because he was back payments. So I offered to help with the promise that he was going to pay me that money back.
Why don't you just make payments on the truck that he had?
Because the truck payment was astronomical, and I would never pay that much for a truck payment or a car payment.
Explain that to me. His truck payment was more than $6,000?
No, ma'am, but his truck payment was very high.
Well, that was
never discussed.
Let's go back.
Okay.
Ms. Saar, he says to you, my truck is about to be repossessed. And he says, so I want to buy another truck in case my truck is repossessed.
Right.
A normal person would say, well, why don't I just make sure I get caught up with a couple of truck payments, which can't be more than maybe $300 or $400. Instead, now he can't pay his truck payment, so that's going to be repossessed. So you want me to believe that you obligate yourself for a $6,000 loan when he can't even pay the truck that he's got? I just want to know what you're selling me. This is what you're selling me.
Right.
Does that make sense to you, Ms. Saar?
That doesn't make sense. Putting it that way, but
we're grown-ups.
Yes, ma'am.
We've lived a long time.
Yes, ma'am.
Somebody comes to me and says, I can't make my truck payment. I want to keep my truck.
Right.
So I want you to buy me another truck, just in case they repossess my old truck, and I'm going to pay you back for the new truck. I'm going to pay you back for the truck that you're buying me now, and then I'm going to have to pay both things. I'm going to have to make the old truck payment, and I'm going to have to make the truck payment to you. Does that make sense to you?
Well, the truck payment that he would be making to me was a lot cheaper than what he'd be paying for his original truck. He was only giving me $200 a month. The original truck payment
was a lot
more.
So he was going to give you, just to say, well, you don't put all that. You see, Ms. Saar, either we're making this up as we're going along, or you don't put there that he was supposed to pay you $200 a month. Was that the agreement? He
yes.
was going to pay you $200 a month?
Yes.
Did he pay you $200 a month in March of 2010?
No, ma'am.
April 2010?
No.
Did you put a lien on the truck, on the title?
No.
Did you have both names put on the title?
No, ma'am.
This is somebody that you knew for 8 weeks,
correct?
And you're a lady who just went through a divorce where you had a lawyer. Must have had a lawyer if at least part of the property settlement was your share of a $60,000 home, because you got $23,000 and the lawyer got some, right?
Yes.
And the house was in two names.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? Yours and your husband's.
Correct.
So you knew that when property is in both your names, that means you have some stake in it.
Yes, ma'am.
What I'm getting at, Ms. Saar, is I have a little question that you gave him $6,000. She did pay for the truck. Is that right, sir?
Yes, ma'am. And I also want to add that I never asked her to buy me a truck. She offered to give me the money for the truck.
I don't care.
Okay.
It just doesn't make sense to me. Doesn't make sense to me that a savvy lady, smart lady, before you collected disability, were you employed?
Yes, ma'am.
Doing what?
I worked at Motorola for many years, and after that, I built computers for a computer company.
Got to be pretty smart to build a computer. I don't even know how to turn on a computer. So you have to be pretty smart. Smart enough to know that if you're taking $6,000, which represents, at least according to you, a substantial part of your life savings, you would have some sort of a memorial note, either by virtue of having your name on the title, a promissory note, a lien on the car, something that would ensure you're getting your money back, especially with somebody that you knew for 8 weeks.
Correct.
So what do you have?
I sent a promissory note for him to sign, and he never signed it.
Well, you get a promissory note before.
Yes, ma'am. I'm not a businesswoman. It was a verbal agreement.
I don't believe it.
And he went on and on. I will pay you back. Thank you. He was very appreciative.
Doesn't make sense to me. If it doesn't make sense, it's not true. It doesn't make sense to me that somebody who's been in business, worked for Motorola for many, many years, had...
Well, Your Honor, when you're around somebody that's constantly saying, oh, my God, I'm going to lose my truck. If I lose my truck, I'm going to lose my job. If I lose my job, I don't have money coming in. I can't feed my child. You're around that constantly. You help them.
Yeah,
you make a deal.
I will help you with the promise. Hey, Ms. Saar, what do you think? You're playing with me? What you do is... You say, if you're likely to lose your truck, I'm going to help you. Let me help you and make a couple of truck payments until you get back on your feet. That's what you say. You don't say, I'm going to buy you a new truck. And in addition to making the truck payments on the old truck, you can add another couple of $100 on that for me. That doesn't make sense.
Well, that's just now, that he wasn't going to pay for the other truck. He wasn't making payments on that.
That's right. That's why you could have made payments on that. Then he would have been whole. It just doesn't make sense to me, Ms. Saar. Doesn't make sense to me. At all. Makes sense to me, maybe, that you bought the truck and you said, I have plenty of money, I'm going to buy you the truck, after you know somebody for 8 weeks. That does not a loan make.
It was a verbal agreement before I even bought the truck.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
this was a loan. Why didn't you put the title in both people's names, yours and his, until the truck was paid off?
Didn't think about it, Your Honor.
Well,
I was very trusting that he was going to pay me back.
You were very trusting to somebody that you knew for 8 weeks? Too trusting for me.
And later today.
Once I started working and making new friends and not spending as much time with Jacqueline, she seemed to be getting jealous and the living situation.
I don't care. I don't care whether she seemed to be getting jealous or not. You didn't move out into another apartment. You moved in with your boyfriend.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Kimberly Saar says ex-boyfriend Sean Gigline borrowed money to buy a new truck and has yet to pay it back.
Okay. Anything else you want to say to me?
No, ma'am.
Did you ever agree to pay her back for the truck?
No, I didn't, because it was always
I said, did you, after you knew her for 8 weeks, did you agree to pay her back for the truck? When she went to buy the truck with you, so the two of you together, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
When they asked you whether you want the title in one name or two, did Ms. Saar indicate she wanted the title to the truck in both names until you paid her back?
No, ma'am. She did not say
Ms.
that.
Ms. Saar, you have a car? I see you have a car because you get around a lot and do a lot of shopping, right?
Yes.
Is the car titled in your name?
Yes, it is.
Your bank account is titled in two names. So in case you need assistance or your mother needs assistance, you know what it means to have title in two names, right?
Yes, ma'am.
When you went to buy the truck, and if this was a loan, why didn't you put the title in both people's names, yours and his, until the truck was paid off?
Didn't think about it, Your Honor.
Well,
I was very trusting that he was going to pay me back.
You were very trusting to somebody that you knew for 8 weeks? Too trusting for me, Ms. Saar. Your case is dismissed. That's all.
Your Honor, I have an email.
Goodbye, Ms. Saar.
Wow. Izakski, you may step out.
I've been jilted. He lied to me, and he's going to do it to another woman?
The relationship was ended, and obviously she was not happy with that.
He's done this before, and he's going to do it again.
I never asked for the money.
Well, he's got a little boy he's got to take care of.
She offered to help, and I said, great, thank you very much.
I believed him.
I wish there was something I could do, but my hands are tied.
I hope he just doesn't do this to somebody else, that's all.
I definitely won't take money from anybody again.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter, Smith versus Campos. Step forward, please.
Tiffany Smith is suing her former roommate, Jacqueline Campos, for the return of her belongings. Jacqueline says she can have the items once she pays the rent she owes.
Let me see. I've read both your complaint and your answer. Let me see if I could figure out who the other players are. This would be the boyfriend?
Yes.
And this would be your father?
Yes.
Okay, so this is what your story is, Ms. Smith. You and Ms. Campos decided to rent an apartment together. You had miserable credit so that between the two of you, you could not get an apartment in both your names. Only Ms. Campos's name is on the lease, but her father signed as a guarantor of the lease. Is that so far correct?
Yes.
You decided to move out and move in with your boyfriend. The defendant kept your property. You want your property. She wants her rent.
Yes.
Right?
Basically, may I speak?
Hmm?
May I speak?
Well, is there anything that I said was wrong?
No.
Well, what makes you think you can move out once you made an agreement with her to split the rent? And the only reason her father got stuck with your half of the rent is because you decided to move in with the boyfriend.
I didn't just decide to move in with my boyfriend. We had stayed there. We decided to move to Albuquerque to get a fresh start. Once I started working and making new friends and not spending as much time with Jacqueline, she seemed to be getting jealous and the living situation.
I don't care. I don't care whether she seemed to be getting jealous or not. You didn't move out into another apartment. You moved in with your boyfriend.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Show me in your texts, emails, your written communication where you agreed to stay until the end of the lease and pay rent.
I don't
Show
have
me.
Proof
of
that.
Of course you don't.
It was verbal.
Of course you don't. No, I don't believe it. Not for a minute.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Tiffany Smith claims former roommate Jacqueline Campos won't return her belongings. Jacqueline is countersuing for unpaid rent.
Now, Ms. Smith, what makes you think you can move out once you made an agreement with her to split the rent?
I agreed that I would pay the rent until the lease was due, but due to me not feeling welcome in the house and not feeling like I could go home.
I don't care what you feel. He got stuck with your half of the rent.
I was going to stay there and pay rent, but she changed the locks.
No, you weren't. You were moving in with the boyfriend. You got lonely.
I told her.
She's still living with you?
Yes.
Yes. Of course she is.
I told her that I would stay through the end of the lease and that I was going to be moving out after the lease was up, but she did not like that idea, and this was when she started texting me and thinking that I was a horrible friend after I agreed to stay through the end of the lease.
Show me where you agreed to stay until the end of the lease.
It was verbal.
I want you to show me in your texts, emails, your written communication, where you agreed to stay until the end of the lease and pay rent.
I don't
show
have
me.
Proof of
that.
Of
course you don't.
It was verbal.
Of course you don't. No, I don't believe it. Not for a minute.
Once the locks were changed, I was no longer living there. And since my name wasn't on the lease, after she changed the locks and I wasn't able to get into the apartment that I was living in, I was no longer staying there. Therefore, I had no legal obligation to pay her to get my stuff out.
Ms. Smith, you wanted to move in with your boyfriend. You were sticking her with the rent because you were... Do you work someplace where you get a paycheck?
I do.
Right. Then they would have garnished your wages if you had. Your name is a signatory on the lease. The one who relied on your word was him. He relied on your word.
I had...
Now, she did something, Ms. Campos did something that she's really not permitted to do, which is to keep your property. She can't hold it hostage. So I want you to tell me, very briefly, what property you claim Ms. Campos has that belongs to you.
She has my TV, my...
Just a second. Mm-hmm. Do you have her TV?
Yes, I do, ma'am.
Great. What else?
My computer and computer
desk. You have
her
computer?
Yes, Your Honor.
What else?
I have personal items that are invaluable to me. Pictures of my whole life from California that I moved are in that apartment.
Do you have her pictures?
Yes, Your Honor.
Are they boxed in any way?
Yes, I have packaged everything up. I'm ready for her.
What else?
I have almost a full closet full of clothes, jewelry, bathroom items, towels, all of my...
You have all of her property?
Yes, Your Honor.
Great. She has all of your property. When are you going to have someone pick it up?
As soon as I can. I had to file a...
Within 5 days from today, you pick up all your property.
Yes.
Now, how many months did you have left to go on your lease when you moved out?
2.
And what was your share of the rent?
$350.
Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
So she owes you $700 for her rent?
For the rent, yes.
Good. Anything else?
Yes, ma'am.
What?
She also owes me for unpaid utility bills.
For what months?
They were due February, so she still would have been liable to pay those, and she still owes me $90 prior to money that I had loaned her when she had lost her job. I have copies of those bills, if you'd like to see them.
Bird, would you show the plaintiff copies of the bills, please? I don't have any loan here as part of your answer or counterclaim.
It would have been half of the amounts that are highlighted.
No. You said plaintiff owes me $1,003 for rent and utilities from when we lived together.
Yes. That's correct.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Now, do you owe her your portion of those utilities?
No, because I wasn't staying there and I wasn't using any of those utilities, therefore I don't believe I owe them.
What month did you move out?
I moved out after February 10th when
2010.
Yes.
Okay. Are any of those utility bills from the month of January?
They are bills that are due February 22nd. So yes, ma'am, because the way the billing cycle works.
Who prepared this public service company of New Mexico statement of account?
They did. They emailed it to me. We shared half of the bills.
Billing date January 17th. Well, this is certainly before, forget this. Did you pay Comcast's bill in January?
Did I pay?
Yes.
If it didn't come till February, then I probably didn't give her any money for it.
Okay, so you owe that $80. You owe $780. You pick up your clothes and other paraphernalia that she has boxed within 5 days from today. Thank you very much. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out. Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Basically, I'm going to be getting my stuff back because you can't legally hold somebody's stuff for ransom, basically.
It was just a cop-out. It was convenient for her to move in with her boyfriend and leave me with the unpaid bills and unpaid rent.
You can't hold somebody's stuff hostage.
We were friends. We were really good friends, and jealousy led her to resent me and the happy life that I was making in New Mexico and meeting the love of my life.
She's not a friend.
There's no reason for any of this. It should have never have gotten this far. It should have been taken care of in such a much more respectable and a more of an adult approach.
She couldn't act like a responsible adult and pay the money that she owed me.
She was jealous that I was being happy and making New Mexico be what I wanted it to be.
I think it's a joke.
I can't change how someone feels.
Trying to help somebody in need and
bring them on their feet, and yet they could just take advantage of people, and yet we went out of our way for it.
Of course they helped me out, and I appreciate everything they've done for me, and I never intended for things to work out this way. I would never want something like this to happen, but unfortunately some things unfold in ways that you can't imagine.
I really learned off of this, and it will never happen again.
Justice was served.
We don't have a friendship, and I don't think it'll ever be repaired after having to come this far just to receive my things back that mean so much to me.
No roommates, and just take care of myself and my kids.
You never know who you can trust, and sometimes it takes years to figure out who people really are, unfortunately.